Father tonight. You're a way maker. You are a need meter. You're a way maker. You're a door opener. You're a provider. We call you Jehovah Jireh. There's nobody who can compare to you. You've got everything that we need. Father God, thank you because you're an awesome God. Thank you because you can make rivers in a desert. Thank you because one word from you can change our situation just like that. Father, you're a mighty good God doing so many great things in our lives. We bless you tonight. As we come before the mighty word, we thank you that your word has our answer tonight. The word's anointed, the word's alive, the word's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, we're asking you to use your word tonight. Use your word. Father, speak a word unto your people, to every listening ear, those who are in this live audience, those who are listening live through a live stream, those who will listen later through some other venue. Speak to every person who hears this message. It's your mighty word that shall not return void. And so, Father, heal, touch, deliver, straighten out our thinking, provide whatever is necessary through the word. Father, thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our helper on tonight. Thank you for the paraclete. Thank you for the one who's called alongside to help us. Thank you, Father God, for the wisdom, the leadership, the guidance of the Holy Spirit tonight. So, Father, have your way in this service. We'll give you all the glory and thank you for unction. Thank you for utterance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's thank our musicians and our worship team for leading us into the presence of God. Don't you appreciate that? You can have your seat. Praise God. You have your Bible. Go to Proverbs chapter 20, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 20. You can train your spirit to follow the inward witness. That's the title of this sermon. You say, that sounds like the title of your sermon the last time you spoke. It was the title of my sermon the last time I spoke, too. Somebody said, that sounds like the title of your sermon the time you spoke before that. It was the title of my sermon that time, too. This is the third time we've been so directed to speak along these lines. We feel we've waited on the Lord, asked the Lord, and feel directed to speak along these lines. And we've just not gotten through each time. And so we've just kind of unhitched and unhitched the train there. And then the Lord just instructed us to hitch it back up and keep going. And so we're in Proverbs 20, going to start with verse 27. I spoke originally on this subject. You can train your spirit to follow the inward witness on November the 11th. Was a Wednesday night we spoke on this subject. And then we spoke again that following Sunday. I don't know if that was the 15th or the 16th, whatever the Sunday was after the 11th. We spoke on this subject again and then tonight. And we have said each time, if you have a desire to follow the Lord and to know what to do, if you have decisions that you have to make, but you want to get it right, if you have a heart to please God and you know that you've got to know what he wants you to do, if you've been reading the word and you say, I'm reading the word, and after reading the word, the answer that I need is not specifically covered by the word. And so I've read the word, I've been praying, doing the other things, but I still need to know what to do. I still need to hear from God. If you have been desirous to hear from the Lord, you want to please him. Oh, this message is for you. And thank God for his word. How many know there's nothing like his word? I said there's nothing like his word. Now, each time we've tried to add a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more to this message, and really to keep it in its context, I encourage you, if you're endeavoring to follow the inward witness, and go back and get all of these messages, listen to every one of them, the 11th, the 15th, and then the one tonight, because we just add on a little bit more. You know, for example, when we started out talking on this subject, we started talking about how we gave you principles. The first principle was that faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And then we gave you a boatload of scripture on that. And then we went from there and we started talking about the next principle, how the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us to lead us and to guide us. Gave you a boatload of scripture on that. Yeah. And then the third principle we gave you was that you can train your spirit. You can train your spirit to follow the inward witness. Gave you a boatload of scripture on that. We picked up the next week. We started talking about how don't override an individual leading of the Holy Spirit. When he leads you and gives you an individual leading, don't override that. Learn how to be sensitive to his leadings and his promptings. We left that principle, and then we told you, listen, if you miss it, and we all miss it sometimes, how many know we're human? Anybody here, you're not human? We're all human, and listen, we all endeavor. We want to get it right, but how many be honest and say, there have been times in my life I've missed it. I was trying to follow the Lord. I just missed it. Anybody say? Okay, that's all of us. So there's no condemnation. Thank God. But the thing is, if we do miss it, then just repent and then get hooked right back up and go right back to following the inward witness. We talked about that principle. Gave you a boatload of scripture on that. So I don't have time to go back and add all the scriptures that I gave you. And as I said, on November the 11th, on November the 15th, I gave all the scriptures for those. But then continuing on tonight, saying, Lord, what would you have us to share tonight? Which direction would you have us to go tonight? Here's the next principle. I think this is the seventh principle. It is this, wait on the timing of the Lord. As we learn to follow the inward witness, we have to also be cognizant that God has timing. Now, that's what we'll start out speaking on tonight. But our key scripture, if you said you can only use one scripture, you can only use one text, what would it be? Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What a mighty scripture. The spirit, literally God's breath in man, is the candle of the Lord. Our human spirit. How many know we are not just, we are triune beings. We're not just a singular being. We are a spirit. That's really who we are. We have a soul and we live in a body. We live in a human body. And again, I gave scripture on all this, so I'm not going to go back over that. Go read, but I'll 1 Thessalonians 5:23, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Listen, the Bible speaks of all three of them, spirit, soul, and body. And so God, the Bible says in John chapter 4, gave scripture, the Lord, he is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Yeah. And so as the Lord communicates with us, he's communicating with us in our spirit, not in our mind. You notice this scripture here, Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. You notice it doesn't say the mind of man is the lamp of the Lord. You know, it doesn't say the body of man is the lamp of the Lord. But this scripture says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So what's that mean? God's going to enlighten us. He's going to lead us. How's he going to do that? Through our spirit. Now you say, does our mind get involved? Our mind does get involved because our mind ultimately will interpret what's coming out of our spirit. But where God's speaking to you and I, where he leads us, where he guides us, is in our spirit. I wish I had a bigger amen there. And of course, we gave you Romans 8:14, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We looked at Romans 8:16, the Spirit bears witness with my what? With my spirit, that I'm a child of God. He's not bearing witness with your mind, he's bearing witness with your spirit. And even though our mind will ultimately be able to receive things that have come from our spirit, it's down here in our spirit, man, where God's communicating with us. And so often we miss it as believers when we get too mind-oriented and when we give too much attention to our mind. Someone has said it this way, that we have spent more time developing our mind, more time developing our body at the expense of our spirit. And it ought not be like that. And see, and if we're going to train our spirit to follow the inward witness, well, we're going to have to be God inside minded. We're going to have to be more cognizant, more conscious, if you will, of things on the inside, because that's where God's speaking to us. Down in our core, in the core of our being. And so it's so important. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his belly. But as we follow the inward witness, we have to also be very mindful that there's such a thing called God's timing. Now, let me just say this before we talk about the timing of the Lord, because, you know, I started out this series saying, look, God has always led his people. There's never been any time in human history that God has not led his people. Back in the garden, in Genesis 3, verse 8, it was God walking into the garden in the cool of the evening, meeting with Adam and Eve. He was always leading his people. We showed you, and we went there. We don't have time to go into all that, but back in Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22, we read there how when Israel came out of Egypt after more than 400 years of bondage and slavery, when they came out of Egypt, God led them. He had a pillar of fire at night that they followed, and a pillar of a cloud during the day that they followed. And when the cloud would move, Israel moved. When the cloud stopped, Israel stopped. If the fire went left, Israel went left. If the fire went right, Israel went right. God led them that way. All they had to do was look up. They were looking essentially they were looking up outward to receive their leading, but God led them. Said God led them. And then we took you from there. We showed you over in Proverbs 16:33. You can write that down. We don't have time to cover it. Proverbs 16:33. We showed you there how the Bible says that the lot is cast, but the direction comes from the Lord. And let me just quote that right. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast in the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. The lot is cast in the lap. And so we explained that, what the lot was and how the priest would use that and get divine guidance as they cast those stones. Sometimes they pulled pieces of wood, but the Lord used that to direct Israel all the way up to Acts chapter 1, verse 26, when a replacement is given for Judas who betrayed the Lord, Peter realizes from Scripture that Judas's office was supposed to be replaced. And in the upper room, one manner of the business they had was to replace Judas's position. And to do that, they found two brothers who they found no daylight between their qualifications, and they didn't know who to choose. And Acts 1:26 says they cast lots to decide, to figure out who the Lord wanted to replace Judas. And I said, oh, glory be to God, because after the leading of the Lord like that in Acts chapter 1:26, read through the New Testament, you'll never see that again. Because God provided something so much better. He provided something so much more awesome. He provided something that was so much more powerful, so much more efficient, so much more great. And that is, the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you and I as born again, New Testament believers. We have the Holy Ghost on the inside. And so we can be led now from the inside out, not as Israel was led from the outside in. They had to look up there at the cloud, at the pillar, or they had to see what direction the lot was cast, and they were being led from the outside in. But oh, now God has fixed this thing for you and I. We're living in the day of the New Testament believer. Jesus said in John, it's expedient for you that I go away. It's to your advantage that I go away, because Jesus said a day is getting ready to come. A day is getting ready to dawn on the body of Christ, and it'll be a day that'll be to your advantage, because the Holy Ghost is going to be on the inside of you. Jesus said in John 7:37-39, it's like a river. He's like a river. Oh man. But the Holy Ghost, we have access to the mighty Holy Ghost. We don't have to wait and go to the priest. We don't have to wait and have the priest make atonement for us. Oh, thank God. God's leading us now today down on the inside. Oh, I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Jesus said in John, he said, and we've covered these scriptures. He said, the day is coming. Well, we're in that day. The day is already here now. Glory to God. And so we have to train our spirit to be sensitive to the inward witness and to follow the inward witness. Now, I was talking with my son today after dinner, and he asked me what I was ministering on tonight. And so we got to talking about this subject, and then I thought of this. I said, man, do you remember when I taught you how to drive? He said, I remember. I said, I took you way across town to a big open parking lot. He said, I remember. I said, I put you behind the wheel of my big Buick. He said, I remember that. I said, and for the first time, you got behind the wheel, and you looked like you had been, you were shell-shocked.
I said, you had the power of that car. You could feel, but suddenly all of it is in control. You're in control of all of it. You're steering it. You're pressing the gas. You could press the brake. Anything that happens, you're. And I said, you were very, you were like 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. You were, And he said, oh, I remember that so well. And I said, but the more you did it, the you got used to it, the easier it became. And he said, it did. He said, then you taught me, not only defensive driving techniques, you taught me how to parallel park and all that. And he said, it got easy. I said, now you whip in here. I said, I watched you pull in the other night. We have a three-car garage, but he and I park on the two-car side. And he likes to back in. I just pull my car in straight. But he likes to back in. He whips that thing out, pulls up the driveway, backs in there. And it's like a foot between his car and mine. I said, man, you better watch how you backing in. He's gotten so good at it. It took getting used to. And the more we train our spirit to follow the inward witness, the better we'll be at it. Don't be discouraged. Never be discouraged. If you've missed it or you haven't gotten it right or something has seemed unclear, if you'll hang in there and keep following the inward witness. We gave you this principle that the word and the inward witness and the word never disagree with each other. We talked about that, how the inward witness and the word of God, they never disagree. If what God's telling you through the inward witness doesn't line up with the word, then God ain't telling you that through the inward witness. I said, amen. And so even the wise men, when they came to find the Messiah, when they traveled from the east to find the Messiah, you know what they followed? They followed a star. They followed a star that led right over the manger. God has always had a way to lead his people. But you and I today, as New Testament believers, are living in the best time of it all because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you and he's just waiting on you to let him lead you. And so let's turn with me now. That's Proverbs 20:27, where we started. I also quoted Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16. But let's go to Habakkuk now, chapter 2. Go with me to Habakkuk chapter 2, because there is a scripture there. We're talking now about the timing of the Lord, the timing of the Lord. It's so important as we're praying, as we're following the inward witness, following the inward witness, you can discover that something is God's will. You may figure out the will of God, but then, listen, once you figure out God's will, you have not given your due diligence yet to follow and obey him, because once you figure out his will, you've still got to know his timing. Let me say this, his timing is as important as his will. I wish I could get a bigger amen than that. Sometimes we get in trouble when we get out ahead of God. And sometimes the very reason that God can't show you and I things is because, you know what? We would mess that dang up. Trying to position ourselves, trying to get over here and do this, trying to get over there and do that. And really, we have to let the Lord do it. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. You don't have to promote yourself. Let the Lord do it. If we'll stay humble, he knows how to put us where we need to be. Ooh, I did a bad job saying that, and y'all said amen. His timing is so important. And sometimes once somebody, a believer, discovers his will, and then we run off. Wait a minute. You got his will. Did you get his timing? Where did I tell you to go? Habakkuk chapter 2. All right, verse 3 is where we're at. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. And though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come to pass. It will not delay. And for somebody here, the Lord want me to tell you this way, it shall come to pass at last. I said, if God said it, it'll come to pass. I said, if God told you that, it'll come to pass. I said, it don't matter what it looked like. It don't matter what they say. If God said it, he'll do it. What he says, he'll do. Visions for an appointed time. There's a time. There's timing with that thing. And God can show you things. Sometimes he wants us to get ourselves prepared. Sometimes he reveals his will so that we can then take the necessary steps to prepare ourselves. I wish I had a bigger amen. Sometimes I've seen people come to Rhema, and they just have such eager enthusiasm to get here. And, you know, most of us have come from someplace, very few native Tulsans. But sometimes people come and they don't take any time to prepare. And thank God, he still sustains them. He still provides for them. They have awesome testimonies. But sometimes I talked with someone one time, and they told me, well, the Lord told me to come, and we just jumped in the car and came. And for some people, God can tell them that, and they could just tell them, just come on. And so I'm not saying in every situation God didn't say that. Maybe God said that to someone. But in this person's particular case, God told them in advance so that they could prepare financially. Then they didn't do anything to prepare financially. And then they just came here when God gave them time to prepare financially, and they didn't prepare for that. Well, I lost all my amens. So listen, you know how they say it, preparation time is never wasted time. As we learn to follow the inward witness, listen, we have to also get God's timing. God's timing. God's timing. And so that's so critically important, to follow the timing of the Lord. The Lord has a due season. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. God's timing. As we learn to follow the inward witness, we have to also pay attention. We've got to pay attention to the timing of the Lord. We know what God wants us to do, but do we know when he wants us to do that? And sometimes we jump and run too quick. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Some versions say that he may exalt you in due season. There are seasons. There are times that accompany the will of God. Oh, brother, wish I had a bigger amen than that. There are seasons, there are times, and sometimes you have to wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord's timing, wait on the Lord to open the door. The Lord may speak something to you, but listen, then you need to wait on him. Wait, don't just barge through the door, I'm here. No, wait a minute, let him do it. Let the Lord open the door for you. I remember in 1993, I was buying a car. I was going to buy a Volvo in 1993. And I was going to buy a 2-year-old Volvo in 1993. And man, 1993, the Volvo has always been traditionally a very boxy car. They build them like tanks. They're very boxy. I had a 1980 Volvo before that. And but this 93 Volvo, it was a 940, a 940 turbo. And I was looking for a car, and I didn't even know Volvo made a 900 series. I was looking at a 700 series. And man, I saw that on the back of at the Volvo dealership. I saw they rolled it off a truck, this 940 turbo. And I said, oh my goodness. The moment I saw that, I thought, oh Lord, that's the one I want. And back then, the cars, believe it or not, the cars came with CD players built into them. Woo, that was something back in the day. I know that dates me. But the car had a CD player. And Volvos are typically very slow-moving cars, you know, dependable, slow. This thing was 940 turbo. You could spin the tires on it. Oh, man. And so the guy said, you want to drive that? I said, yeah, I'll drive it. Acted like I wasn't interested. Sometimes, you know, the Lord gives you something by the inward witness. Don't tell everything you know. A brother can't get an amen teaching like that. Sometimes God is just giving you inside information. Don't go blabbing it. I just nonchalantly, my heart was going like that. But when he said, you want to drive it? I said, okay. I'll take it around the block. And I happened to have a CD with me because I thought, well, I'm going to test drive a car. And I had a CD with me, you know. Because I thought the car probably going to have a CD player in it. And I'm going to put the CD in there to see how it sounds. Sure enough, that thing had a CD player. And I had a Ron Canole CD in my pocket. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all don't know who I'm talking about. Just Google him. Just Ron Canole. Hallowed be thy name. Anointing fall on me. And those two songs came on while I took it for a test drive. Hallowed be thy name and anointing fall on me. I pulled that thing back in the lot, and I was so full of the peace of God. He said, how did it go? I said, oh, it was okay. I was so full of peace. I said, Father, I can't tell if I'm feeling your presence because I'm playing a Ron Canole CD, or I can't tell if I'm supposed to buy the car. Is it an inward witness to buy the car, or is it just the peacefulness from the CD? So he said, you want to come talk about it? I said, no, I need to go home. I said, I got to figure out if this thing is in. When I got home, got on my knees, started praying. Well, the Lord showed me that was the inward witness. That's your car. I'm blessing you with that car. What you felt in that car is my yes. I'm gonna, you know, that's your car. So I went back the next day, and so we started talking, and he told me, he said, well, that car right there, he said, $21,000, we won't come down a penny off of that. He said, you can Blue Book it, Kelly Blue Book it. That car's worth way more than $21,000. He said, but the problem is the car has been on our lot for 60 days. And he said, Big Boss said, we don't leave cars on the lot a day past 60 days. I don't know, some kind of dealership thing there. And by the way, my friend Greg Benedek, he told me last time I talked, he said, why don't you ever have something good to say about car dealers? Let me say, we have the most awesome car dealers here in this church. They are wonderful men and women of God doing a fantastic job for the kingdom of God. All right, so, and... Okay, yeah, he's out of town. Okay. But so anyway, y'all tell him that I said that. And this car dealer was wonderful too. So anyway, so, okay, long story longer. No, a long story short is that, so he said 21,000, the boss won't come down a penny more. And he said, you know, this car has been, it's the 60th day. And the boss said, if you don't get 21,000, send it to auction because we'll get 21,000 just like you snapped your finger at the car auction. And so, so when I prayed about it, man, I'm trying to follow inward witness now. I told you last time how I bought a car, didn't follow the inward witness, paid $1,000 more for it than I should have. All right. So it's 1993. I'm buying that Volvo and I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to miss it. I want to get it right. I want to follow you. And so Lord just directed me. I just didn't have peace at 21,000. Do not buy that. Now my mind, I'll tell you what my mind thought. My mind thought, if I can get him to come down 2,000, man, I'll buy that thing in a New York second. And so when he said 21,000, I said no. And he said, well, the boss isn't going to come down. So he said, I'll go talk to him. He came back and he said, well, he told me to come down to 20,000. I'm surprised that he did that. He said, will you buy it? I said, no. Just go on, you know, go and send it to the auction. And so he said, man, he said, you're getting a good deal. You ought to Kelly Blue Book that. I said, no, I appreciate it. Just sell it at the auction. So then I drove a different car. Even though I knew I wanted that one, I drove a different car. And so then he said to me, he said, you know, while you were driving this car, I went and talked to him again. He said he did something I've never seen him do. And he said that he would come down to 19.5, not a penny less, 19.5 if you'll buy it tonight. Man, I was checking down here on the inside. And on the inside, man, 19.5. You know what my mind was saying? Buy that thing tonight. You know, in here, I didn't have, it didn't seem right. We talked last time about how often, you know, in Acts 15, 22, 25, 28, 34, that phrase is used, and it seemed good. It seemed good. Often the following, the inward witness, often it's just something that seems right on the inside. Get your conscience right, get your spirit right, have the word of God in you. Often it's something that seems right on the inside. How did Luke write the book of Luke and the book of Acts? In Luke chapter 1, he says, it seemed good to me to put this together. It seemed good. It seemed like I was supposed, he was following the inward witness when he wrote the book of Luke and when he wrote Acts. Did it by the inward witness. We showed you how in Acts 15, how they decided how people should be born, following the inward witness. And so I just didn't feel right, just didn't seem right. And that's a good principle. If it's not quite, it's not right. I wish I had a bigger amen there. I said, if down on the inside, it's not seeming quite, something's not quite right. If it's not quite, it's not right. But continuing with our theme here tonight, look, and so you say, what happened with the car? So I said no at 19.5. And he said, I'm just frustrated. So they sent the car off to auction, and the car was gone for, I don't know, I'd say 30 days, and I was still looking for a car. And after 30 days, I was on the lot, and I was looking for a car, and they were rolling that car off the truck again. And I saw it there, but I just stayed calm. I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, don't tell everything the Lord tells you. Sometimes you have to hold on to it. Sometimes it's just inside information. Ooh, that's a better point. Don't have time. But so I just looked at it nonchalant, then just said, oh, I see that car is back. Guess you didn't sell it. He said, yeah, they didn't. He said, the boss was mad. They tried to offer him a lower price. He wouldn't take it. He said, we don't know what we're going to do now. He said, you want to drive it again? I said, I don't know. If you think so, I'll just drive it around the block. I drove that thing around the block. So when I got out, he said, listen. He said, the boss, he said, 19.5. 19.5 is what he'll give you. He'll give it to you, 19.5. I said, no. And he said, listen, tell me this. What would it take for you to buy the car? If you were going to buy the car, if you would actually buy the car today, what would it take for you to buy the car today? And I said, 17.5. And he said, now that you insulted me. I wouldn't even take that into the boss. He said, we're already losing money. But in praying, this is why I said 17.5. In praying about it, I just had that figure down in my belly. 17.5 is what I ought to offer. And when I bought my house, I had a figure down in my belly. And so he went in there, he took that figure in there, and he came out. He said, it beats anything I've ever seen. He said, he told me to go ahead and sell it to you. Amen. And I said, oh, by the way, I got a car I want to trade. He said, why didn't you tell me that in the beginning? They gave me $2,500 for the car that I wanted. I thought, man, if I get $1,000 for this car, I'm happy. They gave me $2,500 for that. So I paid $15,000 for their car. I never knew I had a car payment. It was so easy to pay that thing off. I said, amen. I said, it pays to follow the inward witness. And if you'll follow, God will lead you and guide you, and you'll make the best decisions, and God will be pleased with you, and all will be well. Man, we're out of time for tonight, but let me tell you, wait on God. Wait on God's timing. If you'll wait on God's timing, don't just get his will, get his timing. And when you put those things together, wow, you're going to be in the complete will of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you're doing. And Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Thank you that he's there for a reason. One reason he's there is to lead us and to guide us, to disclose things to come, to reveal and unveil your truth. And so, Father, help us where we've missed it, where we've gotten it wrong, then forgive us. And Father, help us, help every one of us, help everyone listening to this message to have a new enthusiasm, a new energy, a new commitment to your word, a new commitment to your spirit, a new commitment to walking in love, a new commitment to being sensitive to their spirit. And Father God, thank you for leading us by the inward witness. Thank you, Father God, for guiding us and making us, helping us to make great decisions in 2021. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you need anything from the Lord tonight, we just want you to know that we're so glad that you tuned in. We're so glad for all of you that you're here tonight. If you need to be born again, something like that, you can write to us at partnerservices@rhema.org. Or is it partner service? Is it partnerservice@rhema.org? PartnerService@rhema.org. My apologies. PartnerService@rhema.org. Write to us. Pray this prayer with me real quick. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive all of my sins. I ask you to make me the person you want me to be. I believe that Jesus is your son and that he died on the cross for my sins. I receive him as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that was a quick prayer, but if you meant that, God is changing your life. Write to us at PartnerService@rhema.org. It's been such a joy to share with you tonight. You be here Sunday morning. If you didn't hear Pastor Hagin's message on the blood of Jesus today, it was a devil stomping, foot kicking message. And go out there and get it or get it online. We love you. We'll see you right here on Sunday morning. God bless. I'm sorry. Turn me back on. Wednesday night. We'll see you right here Wednesday night, Hour of Power, and Sunday morning. All right. God bless you.